wrestlers. Good to be having you back after another week of hard graft. We're going to have a look at one of our best grafters who's again bobbed back to the surface through the oils.
Gristlers, that was, I don't know who that was, keeps coming in there. I'll have to fix something there. There's obviously something going wrong here in Broadcast Central here at 2SER 107.3, but good to have you with us. Gosh, we're all locked in again. 291 cases today, not good news. The Vics, of course, have locked down. What else would you expect? Queensland have got 10 new transmissions. But, you know, they might be unlocking on Sunday. Who knows? Who knows? We're going to find out here on The Gristle on another COVID week. Stay tuned. Yeah, Gristlers, it's fun times again here as we're all again locked up. Another week of lockups. Oh, dear. It's not good, is it? It's not good, but we're here to help you out because we're going to have a look at what everyone's been saying about everything and why, and then finding out what they should have said in the first place. And, of course, if I've got rid of all of that that great music that we have for Gristle. Yes, that's gone. That's good. So I can see here that we have up there in the tropical north, we've got the wonderful Stormin Norman.
Good evening.
Yes, he's got the dogs out, but we might have them under control. We've got Warm Lettuce there rubbing his head. Warm Lettuce, nice to hear you for a change.
Giggity.
Giggity. We've got Demo Crazy down the bottom there.
Good evening.
And, of course, our resident inner-city lefty, Tintin, good to have you back on the airwaves. And hopefully your internet is feeling a little bit better.
We hope so too. G'day.
Yes, g'day. Well, as I just said a bit earlier, 291 cases, not a good number. It's not flattening, but it's not going through the roof either. There's 50 of those people running around the place. Queensland, they've got 10 new kids. They seem to have people from kids. How is this happening, you know, in Queensland? I don't understand this. And, of course, Victoria have 6 cases, so naturally you lock down the whole state immediately in the steel jaws of death. Look, team, you know, what do you think we're going to do? Is this going to plan, Warm Lettuce?
I don't think anybody could say it's going to plan. I think, well, it depends. Gladys said her plan is that she expects numbers to go up a bit. So clearly it's going according to Gladys's plan, but I don't think that's the plan that everyone else hopes she has. So, no, I don't think it is.
Well, you know, I don't know whether you listen to Gladys. She doesn't actually mention anyone from Melbourne, but the Melbourne people seem to be talking about us a lot. This is Dan. No, it's not. It's not working. Oh, here we go. Hang on.
It may well be the case that they've been visited against the rules.
There's a couple of people that have come back from Sydney.
They were in hotel quarantine. And it may well be the case that they've been visited against the rules by someone who is a positive case.
Oh, someone from Sydney. We're always getting into trouble. It's not fair. Why does he keep doing this to us, Demo Crazy?
Look, I am 100% in agreement with Dan Andrews, and I really want to remind our listeners, with the previous lockdown in Victoria, Dan Andrews announced it and said that Victoria was going to crush the virus. Today, Gladys Berejiklian, 6 weeks into a lockdown, which has seen basically increasing cases every day, says that she hopes that we get to zero. Now, that shows a lack of ambition by the New South Wales Premier.
It shows hope, Demo Crazy.
Shows a lack of ambition. And, for example, I work to put food on the table. I don't hope. I might buy a lotto ticket with hope, but I don't rely on that to put food on the table. When you want something, you've got to go hard. And the Premier keeps on talking about vaccines. Sure, but we all know that you get a vaccine and it takes 2 or 3 weeks to have an effect. So that where the Premier is spending all her energy is on trying to get people vaccinated. I honestly think that the New South Wales government's position is that they're not actually trying to get down to zero. They want a slow burn. They want to basically create fear to get people vaccinated because they just want the economy to be kept on running. And the press conferences this week really have been showing the Premier talking a lot about the economy and the need to keep it going. That is what the Premier's ambition is, to keep the economy going, not the health of the residents of New South Wales.
Well, Tintin, I just wanted to get you in on this because you've been listening to a bit of Hope recently. You were telling me off air, and another radio station, of course. Yeah, but do you have a lot of hope in sitting there in your beautiful studios?
I've heard of this hope. I've heard of it as an abstract concept. I remember when hope existed. And no, I do think there is some, but going to the original point, in order for this to work, there needs to be a clear, concise plan. There needs to be one from the beginning. There clearly wasn't. If the government is talking in terms of we're going to see an X rise in cases, we still don't have a clear numeracy as to whatever extent, it's still quite pie in the sky stuff. I think I wonder, I didn't watch the press today, but I think a direct question from any journalist as to whether we'd see this lockdown ending by the end of the month wouldn't have received a direct answer. And that's a big problem, I think, for a lot of New South Wales residents.
I might add in some secret gossip from one of the big four financial accounting firms where the heavy implication in a recent sort of town hall meeting that we had was that not to expect it to be done anytime soon. And I think the advice was, you know, focus on looking forward to Christmas, which I took to mean that they expect it'll go till Christmas. And that, from what I hear from talking to a lot of big companies, is that that's what people are gearing up for, is not necessarily Christmas, but certainly at least a few months. We're going up every single day, you know. And I think to the point on vaccinations, maybe that's the strategy. Every day she says, well, our ticket out of this is vaccinations, and she's aiming for at least 70%. But UK and US have been running at this a lot longer than we have. The US is at 49%. The European Union's at 50%. The UK's at 60%. It's taken them months to get that high. They're plateauing. You know, so why would we think that we can somehow get from, you know, a little over 10% to 70% in a few weeks? That's not a strategy to get this.
Because, Warm Lettuce, we've got hope. We've got hope. And just nipping up there to the close to the border there, Storm and Norman, what hope do you have that there's people not going to come over from Queensland and infect you guys? Are you worried?
Well, it does. It does. And I actually have some sympathy for Gladys Berejiklian in this, because I think her point actually is valid. I mean, you've got to ask, why is it that we're only at 10% and every other country virtually in the world, not just, you know, OECD countries, but, you know, countries that ostensibly have, you know, third world health systems, are actually doing this much better than we are. And while the rest of the world is on their way out of the pandemic, we're stuck in this situation where our major cities are ghost towns because we apparently are too incompetent to organise an effective vaccine rollout. And I think this is, frankly, the worst, most egregious public policy failure in this country since Federation. It's a disgrace.
Was Federation a public policy failure, was it? It doesn't seem to have worked, quite frankly.
Absolutely not. To be clear, we wanted to kick the British out. To be absolutely clear.
But I mean, I don't think things aren't going as well for some people as for others. And certainly, there appears to be, if you have a look at the ski cam, there's a lot of people on the ski slopes. And of course, I didn't realise, I wasn't thinking until recently, that I've got a cousin who lives up in the Hunter area, and she's got a little bit of a place down there in the ski slopes and was going down for every weekend. But of course, this weekend she won't be able to go down because the Hunter's been locked down by a beach party. Now, you know, demo crazy. How many beach parties have you been to recently at Blacksmith?
None. I can categorically answer that. None. But I want to add to that. I thought Conservative governments were all about law and order, and they keep on, again, the police the police commissioners and others who speak at the press conferences keep on saying, if you get out and about, we will catch you. Well, hang on a second. Somebody drove from Western Sydney and got up to a beach party in Lake Macquarie, and that's led to an outbreak through the Hunter. No, they keep on thinking that they can do a press conference and say this is the truth and this is reality, and it is not truth and reality because they're not putting the effort in where it needs to be.
Yeah, look, just Storm and Norman, you know,
you've got
people coming at you from the south and people coming at you from the north. You've got to be feeling even more nervous.
Well, I think we should start targeting some of these, likely recidivist offenders. Now, we know who these people are. Put a watch on Don Harwin. Don't let him out of the city. Don't let him out of your sight.
And the Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, as well. He's been in breach of the in the past.
You never know where you're going to catch him. He's going to pop up anywhere. Look, you know, who are we going to blame for this? It's just a party of kids going.
There's blame to go around, but there's a heck of a lot for the federal government on the vaccine rollout and the lack of adequate quarantine facilities. And there's a lot of blame for the Premier and the Health Minister, Brad Hazard.
Yes, and now, of course, Warm Lettuce, I'd just like to point out that in Victoria, they're very good on compliance. There's $38,000 fines for COVID so far. And when we look at what the New South Wales police, we get told that, we've had 119 or we've had, 79 in Parramatta and 75 in Fairfield, and I don't know how many in the eastern suburbs.
Not a reflection of the breaches. The law's only as good as it's enforceable.
But even still, our mayors in the eight blackened LGAs are saying that they're being unfairly targeted. You know, what's the difference between New South Wales and Victoria when it comes to compliance, Warm Lettuce?
Oh, well, I think Daniel Andrews, like in many areas, has probably learned a lot from the hard, heavy hand of the state by being so close to the Chinese Communist Party. And usually that's a bad thing. But in this particular case, he's adopted a very Wuhan approach. And say what you will about the Beijing government, they were very, very good at absolutely making sure that everyone was locked up until they got down to zero and they had a lot more cases. And Andrews is not scared to lock down entire buildings and everything. Gladys has made a virtue of saying, I'm not Daniel Andrews, I'm not like him, we're not gonna be mean to anybody. And now we're where we are. And I think it's been a vindication of Daniel Andrews and a damning indictment on Gladys.
The King of Mean. That's the way to go. That's the way to go.
Treat them mean, keep them alive.
Well, there's a real question. If we're only issuing 100 and something fines every day, what do you reckon that's on par with jaywalking? I mean, how much enforcement is there if that's all we're issuing? We've apparently got the ADF out there, the police, and a couple of hundred fines a day. Clearly, they don't want to actually fine anybody. And that's a real problem because our numbers are going up and we're running out of things to try. So that's an area I think Gladys has got to
change. Just 1 second. Warm Lettuce, I have been fined for jaywalking and I can tell you. I tell you, a lot of compliance on that around the UTS. It's quite fierce at times. Demo Crazy, what were you going to...
I think I completely agree there with what Warm Lettuce is saying. Look, if someone goes drunk driving, and I'm not recommending that anyone has something to drink and then gets behind the wheel, but when someone dies, you get charged with manslaughter. When you've got COVID or you suspect you may have COVID and you go out and have contact with other people, there's also an incredibly high chance that someone is going to die, either the person you have direct contact with or the person that they spread it with. And that's where, as I was saying before, this government is not serious on compliance. They're not serious on law and order. And people seem to be, I've seen two police people the entire time of the lockdown in Sydney. And that was when I was out doing shopping and they were buying some food. They weren't talking to anyone about asking what they were doing.
Well, look, Demo Crazy, I'd have to agree with you there because I just happen to know from the erudite press in this town that Tasmania, the Premier of Tasmania, Peter Cutwin, is it Peter?
Somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Gutman. He's getting a bit upset by a New South Welshman who has left Tasmania prior to getting the results of his tests for COVID, and he was positive. So, you know, Tasmania is really very concerned about all the people flying down from other states and, you know, affecting the pristine niceness of that lovely little island. You know, Storm and Norman, are they going to get an AFL team?
It's quite a thing.
They deserve one.
A COVID-free AFL team, apparently. And I'm glad you mentioned that because the report into the Tasmanian AFL team was apparently delivered to AFL headquarters this week.
Yes,
and Premier Gutwin.
Yes.
Yeah, Premier Gutwin has said, I'm not going to sign another contract to underwrite Hawthorn or North Melbourne until you give me a copy of that report.
Well, apparently,
hardball.
I've heard Storm and Norman, that there's going to be a meeting this weekend between certain club heads to nut out an answer to this vexing problem that's going on down in the beautiful Apple Isle. Oh dear. Anyway, but look, Tintin, you're pretty good at flying around the world whenever there's a chance, and of course there isn't a chance at the moment. But it does seem that ScoMo is going to, you know, clip your wings a little bit if you're going to be trying to get around the place. What do you think about these changes to the rules?
Yeah, they've gotten more extreme than before. A lot of cases, anecdotally, stuff has come out online about people who are unable to leave the country, unable to get in. Certainly there's a lot of anger at exceptions that have otherwise been granted. Certainly, broadly speaking, the Olympics are on now, but also Scott Morrison went over to the UK. Anastasia Palaszczuk went to Tokyo, as we covered last week.
Well, she's still locked up, isn't she?
She is, yeah. No suggestion, of course, that she is flouted any of the rules. But there's a feeling of inequality here. There's a feeling, how come these folks get to do this? And I'm stuck here in these sad circumstances. And remember, the reasons people are moving now, it's not the reasons I would typically get on the plane to go see something on the West End. It's because they're going to see family, because they're in extreme circumstances, because they're going to support a partner or else. And they're unable to do that right now. So people are justly quite angry and upset.
Yes. Well, are you angry, Demo Crazy?
I've been angry nonstop with this lockdown, but we were talking before about the greatest public policy failure, and that's the response to the vaccine rollout and also the current outbreak. But look, let's not also forget that Australians have been trying to get back to Australia for 18 months now, and the Commonwealth government has not put a plan in place to be able to get Australians who have citizenship rights to be able to get back to their country. They've not been able to get a system together for those people to get back. And that is also right up there on list of public policy failures since Federation.
Storm and Norman, you know, how do people get back to, if they're like living in Lismore, for example?
Well, you need a compelling reason, and that's the important thing. You need a compelling reason if you're living overseas and you come back to Lismore for a bit of a holiday and you want to go back overseas again. So the compelling reasons I understand include that you're a intruder on Big Brother, that you're a contestant on SAS Australia, or you're coming
here
to...
Or you're a Kardashian.
A guest sermon at the Hillsong Church. So I think that's actually, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, probably is. Probably is. Now, Stormin, you're also, I think, noticed that Barnaby Joyce was having a little bit of a moment in Question Time. What would you see? You know, was it after lunch when he was talking?
That's right. Question Time is a 2 o'clock.
Talking is a strong word.
He had lunch. And possibly wash down his lunch with something. It's been, well, look, some questions about Barnaby, I guess, have been raised, whether or not he was three sheets to the wind when he came back into the chamber. And we talked earlier about, you know, penalties and compliance with COVID rules. I wonder if we should look at some stronger compliance of our politicians not being pissed when they're supposed to be at work, and at least put in some some penalties. And I'd like to suggest that the penalty for turning up to the question time pissed is that you're deducted one commuter car park from your electorate at the next election.
Ah, that's a pretty good idea, don't you think, Warm Letters?
I think that's not going far enough. I think what we should do is take away one of his decentralised departments he sent out to the electorate. He's always been sending the public sector out there.
We don't need to
take them back to the city, but maybe we can move them to the next electorate over, just to, you know, really, really get back at him.
What, to Susan Lee's electorate?
Yeah, why not? I'm glad you know the electorates that well. I wouldn't know what's next.
Well, speaking of going back to Australia, Demo Crazy, if you're a rugby player and you hadn't really done too well, you'd be feeling a little bit down, wouldn't you? And so when you get on the plane, you might say, oh, look, I wouldn't mind having a drink or two. Things haven't really turned out. It's not the Japanese way when you're on a Japanese airline, is it? You know, they do seem to be a little bit more polite and a little bit less rambunctious in Japanese society.
And yeah, drawing the parallel between the two, my question is.
Your question. Okay.
Does that mean that Barnaby was more or less loud and obnoxious than usual when he was drunk? And for the rugby sevens players, were they more or less loud and obnoxious on the flight than their regular behaviour in Australia? So look, I don't know how to judge this kind of stuff these days. But the allegations are that returning Olympians who are, as the point was made before, they are using the capacity that other Australians could be coming back over back from overseas to Australia, the returning Olympians being sent to the Northern Territory to do their quarantine after being at the Tokyo Olympics. But, yeah, getting pissed as a newt on the flight home and causing a bit of disgrace to the Australian Olympic team and our nation. Good.
I'm just wondering why anyone's surprised at any of this. So were you surprised? And when you've been in a lot of aeroplanes, Tintin,
look,
you've seen sports people.
I have. I've been on many a rambunctious flight. And I feel, however, we have done, speaking of the Olympics, so well this week that because so many Olympians are still there, because so many are quarantining, because so many are otherwise either well-behaved or on a fitness regime, they were celebrating for every Olympian in the Australian team who did well. They had a drink extra for all the medal winners, bronze, silver, and gold. So I say bravo, because they were just doing their bit for the team.
Good patriotic stuff, isn't it, Storm and Norman? It's so good to have that sort of support, you know, on the flight home.
Yeah, well, can I just say, with the Ollie Roos and the Rugby Sevens who are supposedly getting a bit rowdy on the plane, at least you can tell when they are drunk. It's a bit more difficult with Barnaby Joyce.
Now, Warm Letters.
He's already red all the time. I mean, he's already the big tomato. Looks kind of drunk as his status quo.
It's because he's an outdoorsman. He's a farmer. You know, he gets a bit of sun every now and again. That's all. Now, Warm Letters, there's been a bit of a win for Senator X Patrick in court recently, and he's going to be able to get a look at the National Cabinet's files, which have been supposedly under lock and key, thanks to the idea of Cabinet confidentiality. But it looks like that the Parliamentary Committee headed up by Katie Gallagher is going to get stuck in next time they meet. I don't know when they're going to meet, but are you looking forward to some skin and hair flying there?
Look, I think this was the least surprising High Court or whichever court it was judgment ever, because you can't just call something a cabinet and then stick cabinet rules on it, right? Like, because I mean, you know, obviously it's not. Well, I mean, then you can call everything a cabinet, right? Uh-huh. So, but does that mean you can change the name of cabinet and everything that is cabinet gets undone? I mean, it's not how these things work. Uh-huh. So I'm not surprised that they said you can't just call it a cabinet and then stick cabinet and confidence on it. I am looking forward to seeing what comes out from it, because I suspect what it will actually show is a lot of premiers talking and largely ignoring the prime minister, who has been pretty irrelevant for most of this year.
And I'm also keen on seeing how many of those premiers are yelling at each other in National Cabinet. So looking for the capitals and the bold on the statements made by some.
Yes, it'd be interesting to see some transcripts too, wouldn't it? I don't know whether we get those out of the cabinet meetings because they all come out and they say everything's fine. But clearly, the State of the Union or our state of our little way of doing things down here in the Southern Hemisphere hasn't helped us when it comes to responding to the pandemic. But look. Getting onto the sports side of things, Storm and Norman, if it ain't woke, don't fix it. The old Trumpster, he's back in the game. He's not happy with his soccer players and he got a bronze. What's all that about?
That's right. So apparently he's put out a statement via a spokesperson on Twitter because he's still banned on Twitter, but he's put out a statement blaming leftist maniacs for the fact that the US only won bronze and not gold in the women's soccer. And I've got the quote from Mr. Trump's statement. If our soccer team, headed by a radical group of leftist maniacs, wasn't woke, they would have won the gold medal instead of bronze.
Demo crazy. Was that possible?
Look, Alan Jones has some extreme views and has some sporting success that he can credit to his name in terms of his former coaching career. Yeah. I haven't heard him make those kind of comments. I don't think Donald Trump's got any sporting prowess. The only contests I thought that he was ever interested in were beauty contests. And then marrying the winners. So I don't know where his comments are coming from.
Tintin, where are they coming from?
Let's just remember the only reason that the US were only eligible for bronze is because they lost to Canada. Tintin. This is not something that Trump wants to remind anyone of. But yeah, it's just simply that they lost to a clearly superior sporting nation, Canada, all tucked away down there.
I'm surprised that Trump didn't just allege that it was like a fake result, right? That someone counted the gold, Trump. You know, he's got form on that.
Oops. That's the ending music.
And as is now officially recorded in the classics for occasions such as this, it really is time for me to zip.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, boys and girls, it's getting towards the end of our program. We're going to have to wind things up.
Time to zip.
Yeah, we've got to zip. That's what happens to us here on The Gristle. But, look, thank you very much, Tintin. Thank you very much, Warm Lettuce, Demo Crazy, of course, Norman. I'm Starvin Marvin. It's been so good having you all here. And we're going to be back again next week gristling about everything and anything that you can possibly poke a stick at. If we can poke a stick at it, we will. That's what we're going to do here on The Gristle. Stay tuned. We've got more good things coming up on 2SER from across the park.
Minutes. Would I, could I make you happy?
Well, maybe we just have one more minute. I'm not sure. Might have made a mistake with that one. Sorry about that. Look, has anyone got any final comments?
Go watch the Olympics. They're great to watch. The volleyball finals, soccer finals. The sport climbing is amazing. I'm so glad that's in the Olympics, as is skateboarding for the first time. Wonderful to watch.
Skateboarding. We won a big medal with skateboarding.
We won the laser, to see.
Yeah. Yes, Demo?
I wish I had a chance to watch some Olympics. I watch ABC.